So up on the website, click, 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 down to La Vida. What rhymes with click, click, click for a retreat? Doesn't rhyme. Down to La Vida for a retreat. There we go. Down to La Vida through the creek. There we go. Merry Christmas. I'm dressed for it, as you can tell. I went to a car club Christmas party today. So, and just arrived in La Vida about 15 minutes ago, because we do have a retreat tomorrow. And in fact, Shauna and Jacqueline, I want to remind you to bring NTI, because when I went to grab NTI thinking I had a whole box, guess how many I had? So I grabbed that one, plus I have one on my bookshelf, which was a spare one of mine. I grabbed that one, and then there's one at the retreat house, so that's three.
I have an extra one. I'll bring it too.
Okay, I don't think Isadora has one. I don't know about Ron. I don't know about Jackie. So definitely bring your NTIs, because if you guys forget them, I just won't have enough to go around. Good, good, good. And then I'll have to order some more, because we are now officially out of NTI. So we're here for the guiding light, and I'm looking at What is the Self with Bernadette Roberts, and I'm opening up on page 25. I'm going to begin with that last full paragraph that starts, once again, the ego center does not fall away, because we started this paragraph last week, but we didn't finish it. So, George is going to be listening on the radio while he packs, I assume. And no, we didn't drive the Chevy to the party. We just, it was just a bunch of, you know, basically old people gathering together and eating food and listening to some music. All right. So here we go. Once again, the ego center does not fall away because it is false or bad. And again, I have to say that false, you know, I think I talked about this a little bit last week, but I'm going to just say the word false, whether the ego is false or not, not as a matter of interpretation. And, you know, if Bernadette was here, I would sit down and talk to her more about her idea that it's not false. I would say that it's a real experience, right? And in that way, it's not false. And in fact, you don't want to deny the real experience of your ego. But I think when the other teachings call it false, what they mean is it's not your true self, right? But it is an experience. And to deny, if you deny the experience of your ego, you're never going to transcend it. What you have to do is look right at it. So she says, wait, let me comment on the last part of this too. She also says it's not bad. And that's very true. In fact, if anyone ever tells you the ego is bad, you know you're listening to a false teacher, someone who doesn't realize the truth. The ego is not bad. Now, the ego does some very evil things. Don't get me wrong. It's kind of like, okay, listen to this funny statement. You guys ready for this? The ego is evil, but it's not bad. How's that? Can you understand that, Jacqueline? See if you can explain that, Jacqueline. Go ahead, take the mic. What's that mean? It's evil, but it's not bad. She can't? You can't take it? No. Okay, so what I mean by that is, and this is going to be very hard to explain. I know exactly what it means, but it's going to be very hard to explain. The ego is responsible for all of the evil in the world. That's what I mean by the ego is evil. You know, when somebody beats their 5-year-old child until they murder them, that comes from the ego, right? But the reason I say it's not bad is because all of that occurs as a confusion about who we are, as a confusion about what my real thoughts are. All of it occurs in ignorance. And as NTI says, ignorance is not guilt. Ignorance is not sin. Ignorance is just a call for knowledge. Right? So that's what we mean by the ego is evil, but not bad. You know, we don't want to deny that on our worst day, it's because we're listening to ego, right? When we're absolutely insane and throwing plates at our partner, it's because we're listening to ego, right? Do you guys agree? It's not because you're being guided by spirit in that minute, right? It's responsible for your insanity. Your attention to it is responsible for your insanity, to be even more clear. The ego is responsible for that. And right now, we're going to call that evil. But we're also saying that doesn't make you bad. It makes you ignorant. Right? That's what I mean by the ego is evil, but not bad. So are we clear on that now? Yeah. So, and of course, one thing that Bernadette Roberts teaches, which I 100% agree with, is actually the ego is capable of great evil, but it's also capable of great good. So it has a spectrum. And the greatest good that the ego is capable of is your desire for self-realization. You know, it's not your true self that desires self-realization. Your true self is already realized. It's somehow the ego that's hearing this calling. It's the ego that feels this desire. It's the ego that treads this spiritual path. So the greatest good that the ego does is take you on the spiritual path towards awakening. So the ego is capable of great evil and great good, right? But it isn't what you are. And that's, of course, what we're here to realize. And again, even if your ego happens to be taking you to great evil, that doesn't make you bad. It means you're ignorant. Or the way the Course would word it was insane. But I think ignorant is actually a kinder word, right? It sounds a little kinder to me, and that's the way NTI describes it, as ignorance or confusion. So, once again, the ego center does not fall away because it is false or bad. Rather, it attaches itself to the divine and gives its all until there is no more to give. Once we give all, the divine takes all, even what we did not know we had to give. So, this is where we ended last week. And because I think this might be new to many of you all, I'm glad that we're looking at it again. Because sometimes when something is new, a new teaching, a new concept, we need to hear it multiple times before it even begins to sink in, right? Last week, I think I titled the teaching, "You Can't Do It Wrong," or something like that. Because we were talking about how your life is the experience that consciousness wants to have, right? Your life, whatever it is the experience that consciousness wants to have. We remember from NTI Romans chapter 2 that there was a wish, and this wish was to have an experience that's different than heaven. We could call that to have an experience that's different than truth. Remember I said a moment ago, the ego is capable of great evil, and the ego is also capable of great good. Well, the ego is that invention that gives us an experience of something other than truth, right? So the great evil is a part of that spectrum of experience that consciousness wants to have. And even the great good, which is the spiritual path, that's the greatest good the ego is capable of. Even the great good is part of the experience that consciousness wants to have. And this is what's meant by the title of last week's talk, "You Can't Do It Wrong." Now, what you can do, which is absolutely unnecessary, but you probably do it anyway, is you can judge yourself as wrong. Right? You can judge yourself as wrong. You can feel wrong, but you can't do it wrong. You know, one of the early, like probably in around 2005 or so, one of the early messages that came to me from Holy Spirit, when Holy Spirit was trying to help me understand level confusion, because that's really what we're talking about right now. Holy Spirit asked me to imagine a child playing with dolls, like Barbie dolls and or G.I. Joe dolls. You know, and this child has a very active imagination. And this child is creating lots of scenarios with their little dolls, you know, and some of those scenarios, well, certainly with the G.I. Joe doll, you probably have some war scenarios going on. With Barbie, you know, you're playing house, you might be falling in love with Ken, you might have an argument with Ken, right? You know, all this stuff is going on. Maybe Barbie gets sick, and then there's another Barbie who's the Barbie doctor, right? So you have a patient and you have a doctor. All of these different scenarios, some of them that the mind would judge as good and some of them that the mind would judge as bad, are a part of the child's play. And the child is unaffected by anything that the child pretends through the dolls, right? You know, if Barbie and Ken get in this huge fight and Barbie's hitting Ken or Ken's hitting Barbie, you know, you're sitting here with your dolls going, bam, 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 right? And there may be, you know, the child itself is unaffected and is still ready to put down the dolls and go to supper when mama calls for supper, right? So this was the simple scenario that Holy Spirit gave me to try and help me understand level confusion. Now, Holy Spirit said that what I really am is the child, meaning consciousness. The child that's playing the spectrum of experience, both from what we call evil all the way up to what we call the highest good. But my confusion is that I think I'm the doll. Whether it's the doll that's being used for, quote, evil, or the doll that's being used for, quote, the highest good, the spiritual path. You know, if you think about this, and this is really, I think, critical to think about, if I identify with being the spiritual teacher who wrote in TI, wrote in a Ramana, started Awakening Together, blah, 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 you know, MPP, retreat house, what else? Gentle healing, you know. If I identify with all that, I'm making the same mistake as a shooter who identifies with being the shooter. Because both are just the dolls. I saw some wows there, so it was good that we talked about this. It's the same mistake. In fact, this is one of the important teachings, I think, about the three gunas in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, the three gunas, remember one guna, which people often think of as the lowest guna, is a tamasic. And remember, the tamasic person is often the one who would be hitting each other, going to jail, being addicted to drugs or alcohol, right? That's the tamasic person, lazy, not able to get off the sofa, not able to hold a job, not able to stick to a relationship, right? All of these characteristics describe the tamasic person. The rahasic person, which people often think of as a little higher, this is a person who now has more ambition, is able to set goals, able to go after their goals, achieve their goals. You might find this one in college, in a career, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then the one that people often think of as the highest, the sattvic person, that's the spiritual person who's in acceptance of all that is, very in harmony with them, with their spiritual self, with their soul. You know, these are the ones that people tend to look up to. But what Krishna teaches about all three of these is that they're all three illusion. None of them are truth. That they're equally illusion. You know, in the world, we get confused and we think the sattvics are better than the tamasics. But Krishna teaches none of them are truth. They're all three illusion. They're a part of that spectrum of what the ego is capable of. From the evil, the greatest evil, to the greatest good. But it's all a part of the experience, and none of it is the child or consciousness. Right? None of it is consciousness. So we get very, very confused, which is why, again, we employ judgment. Because within ourselves, you know, I may judge some of my ways of being, you know, the ones that are more Tamasic-like as this is when I'm bad, this is when I'm lazy, this is when I'm undisciplined. And then we may judge some of our more sattvic-type qualities, like when I do get up and meditate and contemplate, this is when I'm good. But when I'm judging myself as bad and good, I'm thinking I'm the character, the doll. You see? That's level confusion. When you identify with consciousness, then you see everything that the doll is doing as just the play of consciousness. And you're detached from all of it. Whether in that moment it's being what the mind would call good, or in that moment it's being what the mind would call bad. And some people, you know, this is where people get stuck in this. They're like, but, you know, if you're just observing the whole thing, aren't you going to be bad? And the real answer to that is, maybe sometimes what the mind would judge as bad will show up. Yeah. But basically, no. Basically, the answer is no. And the reason the answer is no is because you're not walking around believing you're the character, which means you're not walking around believing the ego thoughts. And therefore, if you're not believing them, naturally the body isn't acting on them, right? What happens when you see yourself as consciousness, thoughts may come in, you know, maybe they're judgment thoughts about a particular person, for example, that person shouldn't have done that. You just see the thoughts come and go. Where someone who believes they're the character starts believing those thoughts. And next thing you know, they're making a phone call saying, I can't believe you did that. You shouldn't have done that, right? So they're acting on the thoughts because they believe they're the character. Where when you see yourself as consciousness and you see all of these thoughts as just the play of consciousness, they come and go without the action. So it's kind of funny. The true answer is, you know, the behavior of the body. I don't know how to say this, I don't think there's a way to say this in a non-judgmental way. So just understand our language is judgmental, okay? The behavior of the body is going to be better when you're identified with consciousness and you just see this all as the play of consciousness than it is when you're identified with the character and you see this as me and my thoughts. Does that make sense? So, once again, the ego center does not fall away because it is false or bad. Rather, it attaches itself to the divine and gives its all until there is no more to give. Once we give all, the divine takes all, even what we did not know we had to give. So what this is really saying, if we go back to the child analogy, the child playing with the Barbie dolls, when the child is done playing with those particular dolls, played out that game of Barbie and Ken, those dolls get laid down. Consciousness lays them down. The ego ends because consciousness no longer wants to play that game. You see? It's a super analogy, thinking of the child playing with the dolls. And again, we're all sitting here on a spiritual path. So the ego, which loves to chatter, might say something like, well, if this is true, if it's just going to, you know, consciousness is going to play with this doll until it's done, and then it's going to lay it down and awakening is going to occur, why be on a spiritual path? Well, the answer is because consciousness wants to have the experience of the spiritual path through you. That's why you're here. That's a part of the spectrum. Right? Not everybody goes through a spiritual path when they awaken. Some people just awaken. Those dolls just get laid down. But you're having your experience exactly as it is, because this is the experience consciousness wants to have through that doll. And it's a beautiful experience, whatever it is. It's like Jacqueline's, like that insight you had one time when you were at an enlightenment intensive, when you went, it's something about experience, right? It's experience, you know, experience is great. That's the moral of this story. So once again, the ego center does not fall away because it is false or bad. Rather, it attaches itself to the divine and gives its all until there is no more to give. Once we give all, the divine takes all. That's the laying down of the dolls. Once we give all, the divine takes all, even what we did not know we had to give. Another reason the self-center dissolves. Wait, before I move on, let me just tell you a story. It's a Bernadette Roberts story. When she was a young child, I don't remember how old, I think around 9 or so, she was at a church, and I believe she was in Mexico. I believe she was at a church in Mexico. Her father took her there because she had poor health. And he took her there to pray for her, hoping for a physical healing. So I believe this is why she was in the church. So she's in this church in Mexico, and she's looking up at the ceiling, and she has a vision. She sees, I think it's Mother Mary, because she was raised Catholic. She sees Mother Mary walking along with some other, with like a secretary or a clerk following her. And Mary is pointing at people and saying something, and the clerk's writing it down, pointing at people and saying something, and the clerk writes it down. And then they point at her. And of course, I don't remember the exact words, but the idea was that she got out of this experience. The idea was that her life was not her own. Bernadette's life was not her own, that it was going to go the way that it was going to go, and there was nothing she could do about it. And she says at first, I remember she's like around 9 years old, at first she got really mad at the idea that her life was not her own. But then at some point, you know, she just accepted this, right? She just accepted this, that her life is not her own. And she came to understand it as, now she wouldn't use this language, but I'll go with this analogy. She came to understand it as God was laying down the doll through her, right? Her life was not her own because the doll was being laid down. At some point, this begins to happen on the spiritual path. You know, Jesus said to Peter, the first half of your life, you were able to do whatever you wanted, go wherever you wanted. The second half of your life, you can't go where you want and do what you want, right? Now, you never are really going where you want and doing what you want, but that's the perception when you believe you're the character. When you start to lose the perception that you are the character, then it seems like you are just being moved, because that's what's always been true, right? Therefore, you no longer are going where you want and doing what you're doing. The world is unfolding. The script is unfolding. This is just being moved. And you're shifting more and more and more into the observer role without a will. Because the doll is being laid down through you. That's a real sure sign that awakening is occurring. When you can see it in your own life, in your own experience, when you can see that you no longer are going where you want to go and doing what you want to do. Right? Yeah. So that's a good sign. You can kick and scream if you want, but that's just mental. And as long as you still think you're in control, then you're still believing you're the character fully. She says, another reason the self-center dissolves is that its steadfastness in goodness cannot be compared to the divine center. So long as the self-center remains, it can still reverse itself and go in pursuit of what is less than its highest good or less than the divine. I'll tell you what, there's a part of me, and I'm sure it's the ego, that simply does not want to believe what I just read. Simply does not want to believe it. It wants to believe that once this doll is starting to be laid down, then that's just the direction it's going to go, and there's no reversal. Consciousness will never pick it back up again and start playing again. However, Ramana Maharshi once said that if there is a single ego thought still remaining in the mind, that the ego can return. So why is that? Well, the answer for that is your attention is consciousness. Do you still want to play with that thought? You see, you are consciousness playing with the doll. It's not like consciousness is something else that's playing with this doll. You are consciousness playing with the doll. You're the one that's giving the attention to the thoughts. You're the one that's playing the game. So if there's still some ego thought here that could entertain you, and it arises, and you give that attention, the doll gets picked right back up and the playing begins again. You see how that happens? So it's really important to remember that, again, this, we're talking about level confusion here. We make the mistake of thinking we're the person when we're consciousness. We're the one that's playing with the doll or laying it down. You are the one that's playing with the doll or laying it down. You hear that? You are the one that's playing with the doll or laying it down. Otherwise, you have level confusion if you don't realize that. So long as the self-center remains, it can still reverse itself and go in pursuit of what is less than its highest good or less than the divine. This is why its falling away is an irreversible event that forever excludes the possibility of going in pursuit of evil. There she sees, she's using the word evil. See, the ego is evil but not bad, right? Isn't that a funny statement? But it's true. It's evil, but it's not bad. And I appreciate that you guys are open enough to hear that and allow yourselves to understand it, because it's a heck of a sentence. The whole purpose, this is why it's falling away. The ego's falling away is an irreversible event that forever excludes the possibility of going in pursuit of evil or turning back on the divine. So, again, the ego is that spectrum of experience, the wish that it was different than truth, right? When the ego is completely gone, all of the possibilities on that spectrum are gone. So once the ego is completely gone, there's no more picking up the doll because there's no more doll to pick up, right? And this is why Ramana Maharshi said if there's even one thought remaining, the ego could be reborn, because that's like starting to lay down the doll and walk away, and we go, wait a minute, what about, and you pick that doll right back up and start playing a whole new game, right? But when there's no doll, when the ego has completely fallen away, there's no doll, then it can't be picked up again, right? So long as the self center remains, it can still reverse itself and go in pursuit of what is less than its highest good or less than the divine. This is why its falling away is an irreversible event that forever excludes the possibility of going in pursuit of evil or turning back on the divine. The whole purpose or function of the unitive condition is to give man the divine assurance of an abiding union and oneness that can never be reversed. So that's why I'll start next week. But what she's basically saying is the purpose of the unitive experience is to help you gain the confidence that the ego is indeed gone, that there isn't this one more thought harboring itself that you could turn your attention back to. It's really telling consciousness, it's giving consciousness the confidence that it is indeed done with the game. Right? So we'll talk more about that next week. I've marked that as our starting point. And for now, I'm letting go of the mic, and I'll see you two ladies tomorrow. Three ladies. Isadora's here too. See you three ladies tomorrow.